Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Samach Dalet. Don't forget to click the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara at the second line from the top of Samach Dalid mentions a quote from the Mishnah, Shloisha Dvorim, and if you look back at the Mishnah, at the lower part of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah mentioned that there were three things that were done at the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah mentioned they were Chatas Of, Hagoshos, the drawing near of a meal offering, and Shiori Hadam, the remaining blood of an external sin offering, was poured out at that point, at the base, at the southwestern side of the Mizbeach. The Mishnah, the quote is at the top of Samach Dalet, Shloisha Dvorim, V'chulei, etc., that happened Milamato, one, Chatas Ha'of. What's the source for that? That it was done at the southwestern corner. Ha de Amoran. This was mentioned already on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. At the upper part of the page, the Gemara discussed the source for that. Hagoshos, the need of drawing the korban mincha, the meal offering, to the southwestern corner. Dichtiv, v'gisha el hamizbeach. The Meforshim raised the issue here, the commentaries raised the issue, why didn't the Gemara cite the source that was already cited on Samach Gimel Amud Beis? We'll just leave that as a discussion unto itself. Number three, Shiorei Hadom, the remaining blood of external sin offerings, Tichtiv V'es Kol Dam Hapar Yishpoich El Yesoid HaMizbeach. The quote here is a bit brief, but the Gemara has already said in this Masechet that we learn the descent from the ramp that takes place after the blood applications of a sin offering were done on the Mizbeach from what happens when the Kohen exits the Heichal with the internal sin offering blood. Just like in the case of exiting the Heichal with the sin offering blood from internal sin offerings, the blood is poured out on the western side of the Mizbeach, which is the closest point to the exit from the Heichal. So too, we are interested in the closest point with regard to the descent from the Kevesh, and the closest point where there was Yesod, where there was the base of the Mizbeach, happened to be on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. Milamalo, the Mishnah also mentioned that southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, the upper part of the southwestern corner, there took place Nisuch HaMayim VeHayayin VeOilas HaOiv Kishi Rovo BeMizrach. The Gemara comments here on the issue of the bird offering, the Ola bird offering. When was it done at the southwestern corner? When it was too crowded at the southeastern part of the Mizbeach, where the Ola was ideally to be offered. So the Gemara points this out, from the fact that the Mishnah says that the southwestern corner was used only when it was too crowded, when it was too much at the southeastern corner. Michlau de Mekoma Mizrach Hi. We can infer from that the official place for the Ola bird offering is the southeastern corner. My Taima. Why is the southeastern corner the place for the Ola bird offering to be done? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Shekroivo Mibeis Hadeshen. It's the closest point on the Mizbeach to the place called Beis Hadeshen. The place called Beis Hadeshen, we'll see a little bit later in the Gemara, was on the floor of the Azorah, next to the Kevish, the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, on the eastern side of the ramp, 10 amos north of the southernmost point of the ramp. There's a diagram that's available on this page to show you that location on the lower part of the page. You can see an aerial view of the ramp, the narrow rectangular figure that's connected to the larger square figure, which is the aerial view of the Mizbeach, and the relative directions that are mentioned, that are included on the chart, or on the diagram. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bo Re'e Kama Godol Koichon Shel Kohanim. Come and see or behold the strength, the physical strength of the Kohanim. She'en l'cho kal b'oifois yoiser mimura v'noitza. There is nothing lighter, and we might add non-aerodynamic, more than the innards of the bird offering. This took place when the bird was offered, the crop was cut out of the belly of the bird, and the surrounding feathers, skin and feathers, and that was thrown from the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach all the way to the Beis HaDeshen, which was southeast of the ramp. What is the distance involved? So we'll see the Gemara now. They were able to throw this, the bird's crop and surrounding feathers, as the Gemara continues to say, Pa'omim shahakoyen zorkon yoiser mishloishim amo. The Pa'omim sometimes, namely when the bird offering, when there were many bird offerings on the eastern side, so they would use the southwestern side of the Mizbeach for that purpose, they, after offering the bird, the after doing the blood offerings of the Old Asa'of, they would then throw this part of the bird, these innards of the bird, from that southwestern point of the Mizbeach to the Beis HaDeshen. This source is brought in to show us the location of the Beis HaDeshen. After the source, the Gemara will ask, you can jump to the end of the source and notice, of course, in our Gemara markings, Tanaic sources are presented in frames so as to set them aside, set them apart from the rest of the Gemara text. But after this particular Tanaic source, you see, the Gemara will ask a question, why do you say more than 30, it's actually Hani Tfei Mitalsin V'chad Havyon. If you make careful calculations, you'll discover it's more than 31 Amos. So why do you say simply more than 30 Amos? The Gemara will answer, Mokom Gavri Lo Choshev. The space occupied by the Kohen himself when he is throwing it is not part of the calculation. So you're starting your measurement from in front of the Kohen, thereby reducing the number by an amo, the person being said to take up an amo. So since we're not including him in the calculation, you get a slightly smaller number, namely 30 amos. Let's now go over the source. Disnan. Notal machto shel kesef v'olo l'roish hamizbeach. Where the kohen, when he is coming to perform the Trumas Hadeshen ceremony, this was a taking of a small quantity of coals from the fireplace early in the morning, and those coals were then deposited on the floor of the Azorah at the Mokom HaDeshen. So he took a machta, a vessel made of silver. Although the Rosh HaMizbeach, he then rose to the top of the Mizbeach, walking up the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, Upino es Egecholim Eilech Veilech, and he moved the coals in different to all directions. V'chotam in amucholos hapnimius v'yoreid, and he dug into the inner coals. Higia l'ritzpa after he drew these inner coals from the top of the Mizbeach, he then descended the ramp to the floor. Machzir ponov klapei tzafon. As he was walking down the ramp, he was walking in a southerly direction. When he gets to the bottom of the ramp, he makes an about face, turns and walks to the north. This is all illustrated on the little diagram that accompanies this Gemara to the side. He would then make this northerly turn, as you can see the arrows on the diagram on the inside of your margin indicate. V'holich l'mizrocho shokevesh, and after he makes that northerly turn, he walks along the eastern side of the ramp. Ke'eser amos, approximately 10 amos. Tzavar es gecholim al gabi haritzbo, he then piled up those coals that he removed from the top of the mizbeach, and he piled them up on the floor. Rochok min hakevesh shloisha tfochim, 3 tfochim. Tfochim is a measure called a hand breadth. 3 tfochim to the off to the side of the ramp. 3 tfochim to the east of the ramp. Mokum shenosin mura venotza. This was the same place that the mura venotza, the crop of the bird and the feathers. The feathers were part of the cut out, the section of the bird's belly that was cut out in order to get to the crop. The dishun mizbeach hapnimi v'amenorah, and the ashes from the internal mizbeach as well, and the menorah remnants, the wicks, the coals that were left from the wicks of the menorah, they were also placed at this spot. And it is part of our tradition that everything that was placed there was miraculously absorbed into the ground, so that even though that spot was used for hundreds of years for the purpose of placing the coals of the external mizbeach, the trumas hadeshen, which is a representative small amount of coals, we may add, was placed there in addition to these other items, nevertheless it never accumulated, because as we said, part of our tradition is that it was absorbed into the ground in a miraculous fashion. Nevertheless, when you focus on this point on the floor, namely 10 amas north of the southern edge of the ramp, and calculate what's the distance from there to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, the Gemara asks, Hani tfei mitlosin v'chad hafyan, if you make the appropriate calculations, and Rashi takes the pains of showing how to make those calculations, you'll come out with a number of more than 31 amos. So the question the Gemara is alluding to here is, why did you say above? And you can use your arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to see where we said that. Why did you say there simply more than 30 when it's actually more than 31 amos? The Gemara answers, Mokom Gavri lo Hoshiv. In making the calculation, the spot that the Gavri, that the person takes up, was not included. Namely, the Kayin, when holding the Mura Venotza, and tossing it toward the Mokom HaDeshen, he takes up an Amo, and that Amo was not calculated in the number that we presented. Kol Ho'ilim L'Mizbeach, the Mishnah mentioned that all those that rise to the top of the Mizbeach rise, start at the ramp, on the right-hand side of the ramp, or the right side of the ramp, and ascend the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, and then work their way around the top of the Mizbeach. Except for those who rise to the top of the Mizbeach for the 3 things that were mentioned in the Mishnah taking place at the southwestern corner. Now, those 3 things we had noted earlier that took place at the top of the southwestern corner, the Nisuch HaMayim, the Yayin, and the Oilas HaOif, when it was crowded in the on the southeastern corner. When one rose to the top of the Mizbech for those things, the Mishnah says, then they would rise to the they would go up on the ramp, going up on the left-hand side of the ramp. This the Mishnah mentions at the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Chutz min ha'olah l'shloisha elu shoyu olim v'yordim al ha'okev. They would walk up and come down the same side of the ramp. And we're saying that they walked up the left-hand side of the ramp, the western edge of the ramp, if you will, and walked down that same western edge. My time off. Why is it that this took place? Why is it that they walked up the left-hand side of the ramp and didn't walk up the right-hand side and then walk around the Mizbeach, making a right turn at the top, which would have been the appropriate or standard way of doing things? Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan explains why they did this, in fact, short trip, we'd say almost a shortcut, to get to the southwestern corner instead of rising on the eastern side of the ramp and then making a right turn toward the southeastern corner and then continuing around the Mizbech till you got to the southwestern corner. Why did they go up the ramp on the western edge and immediately make a left turn, which is, as we said, unusual? Because the acceptable procedure is to make a right turn. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nisachim, with regard to the liquid offerings, the wine liquid offering, and the water liquid offering, which the water was offered on Sukkis, Shema Yisashnu. We wanted them to be as exposed as little as possible to the smoke at the top of the Mizbeach. After all, the top of the Mizbeach was used for, had fireplaces burning for the purpose of offering the various sacrifices and parts thereof, in addition to other fireplaces that may have been burning. So as to reduce their exposure to the smoke, so that these liquids wouldn't absorb smoke, we took an immediate left turn at the top of the ramp to get to the place of the shisim, the tubes on the top of the Mizbech that were characteristic of the second Beis HaMikdash period, and poured down the tubes. The other item, the Ola Sa'if, the Ola bird offering, we also wanted to spend as little time on the top of the Mizbeach with regard to that, Shemo Tomus Be'oshan. Because if you were to have made the right turn at the top of the ramp and worked your way around the Mizbeach till you got to the southwestern corner, the bird might have died from smoke inhalation. And we didn't want it to die. We wanted you to do Malika to it at the top of the Mizbeach. Meisvei. The Gemara raises a question, quoting a Tanaic source. From this source, it will seem that the, in the question mode, it will seem that the Kohen, in this case we'll be talking about a Kohen Gadol, who was coming to do the wine offering at the top of the Mizbeach, actually did carry the wine around with him, and not seeming to be worried about the exposure to the smoke. The source, as we just mentioned in passing, features a Kohen Gadol, who can, as Rashi points out, based on many sources, can insist on doing the avoda, offering korbanos at his desire, as opposed to a standard Kohen who had to be chosen to do it. The Kohen Gadol, upon wishing to, he would rise to the top of the Mizbeach, and he would receive the limbs from somebody who carried the limbs of the various korbanos up the ramp, would hand it to the Kohen Gadol. He would then take these limbs and toss them onto the fire as is required in offering these sacrifices. And we now continue with the source. Bo loy lahakif es hamizbeach. He now is going to walk around the mizbeach. Me'ayin hu maschil. From what point does this this walk around the mizbeach begin? Mikeren droimus mizrachis, from the southwestern corner. That's the first corner he turns to after he threw the limbs onto the fire. He then walks around, making a right turn to the southeastern corner. Then continues around mizrachis svoinus. He then hits the northeastern corner, svoinus marovus, the next corner to be reached, the northwestern corner, and finally marovus droimus, the southeastern corner, the noisnim loy yayin linasech, and he's given the, and he has the wine to pour down the shisim, the tubes, at the southwestern corner. So at first glance, it appears that he's walking around with the wine on his trip around the mizbeach, and we don't seem to be concerned with the wine's exposure to the smoke. The Gemara answers that the source we just read describes him, his own personal walk around the Mizbeach, but he in fact is not carrying the wine with him as he walks around the Mizbeach. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakofa Beregel. His surrounding or walk around by foot without the wine in his hand. Omar Rava Daiko Nami. In fact, Rava tells us that by careful reading, you can see that as he was walking around, he was walking around without the wine in his hand. Dikotoni noisnim lu yayin lenasech. It says that he was, when he reached the southwestern corner, he was given the wine to be poured down the mizbeach. Velokotoni omer lo nasech. And it doesn't say that he was instructed to pour. Had it said Omer lo nasech, that he was instructed to pour, it would have indicated he was carrying it with him the whole time, and he was simply issued an instruction to pour. That's not the case. He was given the wine only upon reaching the southwestern corner. Shema mina. This is a conclusive proof that he walked around without the wine in his hands because of what Rabbi Yochanan said, the fear of its exposure to the smoke. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source continuing in this topic of the directions when rising to the top of the mizbeach. Kol ha'oilin lemizbeach oilin derech yamin, v'yordin derech smol. All those who rose to the top of the mizbeach would walk up the ramp on the right hand side and descend on the left. Oilin derech mizrach, they would walk up on the eastern side, v'yordin derech marav, and come down on the western side. Chutz min ha'oilin l'shloisha dvarim halalu, with the exception of those who rose for the aforementioned three things, she'oilin derech marav, they walked up on the western side, v'yordin derech marav, and descended on the western side. Oilin derech yamin, v'yordin derech yamin. They walked up, and here we have a difficult expression, but the translation is they walked up on the right and came down on the right. So the Gemara asks, well, if you're walking up the western side of the ramp, once again, you're starting in the south of the Azor, in the southern part of the courtyard, walking in a northerly direction, and you're walking on the western side of the ramp, how can you describe this as the right side? Derech yamin, derech smolhu. It's not the right side. It is the left side. Omar Rava. You'll notice we have a little one over here, because we'll have two approaches. Rava says, Omar Rava, tani smol. So restate the source at this point, namely at the end of the source, that it's in fact the small. Ravina Omar, ma yamin. What is the word yamin at the at the end of this source? What does the word yamin mean? The yamin of the sefer, yamin de mizbeach. It's the right hand side of the altar. Now we have to add one very important point before we can understand this. As he was walking up the altar, he was walking up the ramp to the altar, to the mizbeach. He's walking toward the face of the mizbeach. So if one were to put themselves in the position of the mizbeach and they're facing the Kohen Gadol is walking up opposite the mizbeach's right. Once again, the mizbeach is facing you. So as you're walking up on the left-hand side of the ramp, you're walking up to that which you would classify the right-hand side of the mizbeach. Umay smoil. What is the word smoil in the resha? And we have arrows in the to the right-hand side of the Gemara text to help you find these different terms. So what does smoil of the resha mean? Smoil de gavra. It was the left-hand side of the person. The Rashi points out, Umay Smoil de Kotoni Beresha. When the Resha said he would rise Derech Yamin and then come down Derech Smoil, he was coming down on the western side of the ramp. The western side of the ramp, as far as the person when going up the ramp, in other words, before he came down, as you're going up the ramp, to his left is the side of the ramp that he eventually will be descending. So when the term smoil is used in the resha, it's a reference to the left-hand side of the person. So what we have is a rather unusual setup here, which will be the source of the Gemara's next question. In describing the ascent to the top of the Mizbeach in the Sefer, the Braisa uses the term Yamin, and that's a reference to the right-hand side of the Mizbeach. When the Resha uses the term describing the western side of the ramp, it refers to it by referring to the left-hand side of the person. So, how do you account for this difference? V'nisni o idi v'idi demizbeach. The source should teach both the resha and sefer in terms of mizbeach. O idi v'idi degavra, or the resha and sefer should teach in terms of the person. Kashia. This is a bit of a difficulty as far as the pshat presented by Ravina. The Mishnah. Chatas oif, ketzad hoyo naases. The bird sin offering, how was it done? Hoyo moilek es roisho, mimul orpo. The head was severed from the back of its neck. The eno mavdil. And in cutting the throat simonim, as opposed to an olas ha'of, where we saw the two tubes were cut, the trachea and esophagus, in the case of the bird offering, only one tube was cut. That's what the expression eino mavdil means. He doesn't sever both, just one. U maze midoma al kir hamizbeach. And then there's a sprinkling of the blood, a splashing of the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach. Shorei hadom hoyo mismatze al hayesod. The remnant of the blood would drip down to the base of the mizbeach. Ve'ein la'mizbeach el adoma ve'kula l'koyhanim. The mizbeach, as far as the sin offering, sin bird offering, the mizbeach received only the blood, and the rest was given to, the bird itself was given to the koyhanim for eating. The topic heading that we have assigned to this piece of Gemara is found in the outside margin under the heading Nosei, Hazoas Dam Shel Chata Sa'of, the sprinkling of the blood of the bird sin offering, Al Kir HaTachtan Shel Mizbeach. This was done on the lower half of the Mizbeach. Once again, this is in contrast to the Oilas Ha'of, which was done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Tanu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source opens up with a quote from a pasuk in Vayikra Hei Pasuk Tes. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, let's read the pasuk that we've included on the inside margin of your Gemara. V'hiza midam hachatos al kir hamizbeach, v'hanishar badam yimotzei el yisoid hamizbeach, chatos hu. Turning to the Gemara. V'hiza midam hachatos. You will sprinkle from the blood of the bird offering. Miguf hachatos. And the Bryce interprets that to mean from the guf hachatos, which is means he holds the bird itself, and while holding the bird itself, he waves the bird in the direction of the Mizbeach, thereby causing the sprinkling to take place. Ha ketzad. How is this done, to be done procedurally? Ochez barosh ubaguf umazi, holds the head and the body and does the sprinkling. It may be pointed out, as we saw in the Mishnah, the head was only partially severed from the body insofar as the requirement to cut only one of the two simonim, so the head was still attached to the body of the bird while he was doing the sprinklings. The pasuk mentioned al-kir hamizbeach, below al kir hakevesh, the pasuk mentions on the wall of the mizbeach, of the wall of the altar, and not on the side of the ramp. Below al kir hechal, below al kir ulam, but not on the wall of the hechal nor on the wall of the ulam. The a ze ze kir hatachton, and when we say the kir hamizbeach, which wall of the mizbeach? The lower part, the lower under the chut hasikra. O eno elo kir ho elyon. Maybe when it says the wall of the mizbech, maybe it means the upper wall. Vidinu, and in fact, logic would suggest it should be the upper wall. And the logic is presented. Uma behema sheoilosa lamato chatosa lamalo. Mind you, when it comes to a behema, a cow offering or an animal offering, the ola, the olas behema, an animal ola offering, its blood is done on the lower half of the Mizbeach. The Chatos Behema is done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Oif she'oiloso lamala. When it comes to a bird offering, its Ola version is done on the upper half. Eino din she'chatoso lamala. All the more so should its Chatos be done on the upper half. Once again, if the Behema Ola is done below, but its chatos is done above. A bird, Ola, which is already done above, then its chatos certainly should be done above. Talmud Lomar, v'hanishar badom imotzei el yisoid hamizbeach. From this we learn, kir, it is the wall, shehashirayin sheloi mismatzim layisoid. It's the wall that the remnant blood of the bird reaches the yisod. The pasuk used the word yisod, meaning the base of the mizbeach. So which wall of the mizbeach is it that the remaining blood will dribble down to the foundation? The eze ze ze kir hatachton. That has to be the lower half of the mizbeach, because if you do the blood application to the upper half of the mizbeach, the upper half includes the area above the above the sovev. The sovev being the ledge formed by the upper three amos of Mizbeach being set in from the lower six amos of the Mizbeach, as we have seen in
numerous diagrams till this point. So if you were to use the upper half of the Mizbech, there wasn't any guarantee that the dam would ever reach the Yesod. And the Pasuk makes a reference to the dam, the remnant blood reaching the Yesod. So we must be talking about a wall of the Mizbech from which the remnant blood would reach the base. And that can be accomplished only if you apply the blood to the lower half of the Mizbech. The Gemara asks, V'nevid me'iloi, why not do the hazah from the upper half based on the kal v'chomer? V'hodar ne'evid mitatoi, and then do the mitsui. The mitsui is the squishing out of the blood after the hazah was done. Then the bird's body was pressed up against the wall of the Mizbech, accomplishing what we call mitsui, the squishing out, and then do that on the lower half of the Mizbech to accomplish what the Pasuk refers to when it said Yesod HaMizbech, blood dribbling down to the base. Omar Rava, Miksiv Yematsei, does the Pasuk say he shall squeeze it out? Yimotsei Ksiv, the Memeilo Mashma. Grammatically, the word Yimotsei goes back on the sprinkling. So what we're trying to say is that the blood that remains on the wall of the Mizbech after the sprinkling is done, that blood should be able to dribble down to the Yesod, to the foundation. Therefore, the suggestion that we saw just the line above, namely that the Hazah should be done on the upper half of the Mizbech to accomplish, to fulfill the Kal V'chomer, that's ruled out, because we want the blood of the sprinkling to be able to dribble down to the foundation, to the Yesod. And if you were to do that Hazah above the halfway mark, at times you may be doing it above where the Soveh lives, and the blood will never get to the Yesod. Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia. This section of Gemara is entitled by the topic heading, Ketzad Molkin. How is the Malika done? It's recommended that one gets a hold of a picture book or a book of illustrations that accompanies the Gemara or other Kochim topics to enable to appreciate the next piece of Gemara. But it's because Gemara will be attempting through words to describe how the bird was held by the Kohen in order for him to do Malika, to pierce its neck with his thumbnail. Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Omar Rav, Ketzad Molkin Chatasov, how was Malika done to a Chatasov? Ochez Gapov Bishte Etzbois, he would hold the bird's wings between his two fingers. Ushte Raglayim Bishte Etzbois, and clench the bird's feet between two other fingers. The Rashi points out that the wings were held between the pinky and the next finger. In Hebrew, one is called the pinky is called the etzba ketana, and the fourth finger, when counting the thumb as number one, so the fourth finger is called the kamitza. That's the name of the finger. So he would hold the bird's wings between the small finger, the pinky, and the fourth finger, and the two legs. For the sake of accuracy, correct ourselves. Just switch things around. The Rashi points out that at this point in the Gemara, he's holding the basic bird is in the palm of his hand, with the two legs of the bird between the small finger and the fourth finger, and the two wings of the bird between the middle finger and the pointer finger, the second finger. The Gemara goes on, umoteach savora al rochav gudlo, and the neck of the bird was stretched out across his thumb, thereby creating a sort of tension, and then using his other thumb, his right thumb, he would then do malika. He would sever its neck from the back of the neck. Since we're talking about a chatasov, we're talking about severing only one of the two neck tubes. B'masnisatana, in the Tanaic version of this, of how malika was done, the bird is located on the outside of his hand. Tzipra milabar, the bird was not in the palm of his hand, as Rashi interpreted the Gemara version, or call it Rav's version. The Masnisa version is Tzipra milabar, the bird was on the back of his hand, and he was clenching the wings and the feet in the, and as we mentioned before, Ochez Gapov Bishtei Etzboisov, the wings were between two fingers, Shnei Raglayim Bishtei Etzbos, and the 2 feet of the bird between the other 2 fingers, Moteach Tzavoro Al Rochav Shtei Etzboisov, the bird's neck was stretched out across the width of 2 fingers, Umolek, and then he would do the malika, the piercing of the neck. Vizuhi avoda kosher shebemikdash, and this was the hardest activity to do in the Beis Hamikdash service. The Gemara asks, Zuhi vesulo, this is the only one, or the only or the most difficult activity of all activities. Well, ika, is there not kemitza v'chafina? These are 2 other activities that were described as being very difficult to accomplish. The kmitza is the taking of the handful of a meal offering. The chafina is the process of taking the cupping one's hands and taking the incense offering of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Yom Kippur service, and bringing it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and retransferring it from the vessel that he brought the incense in with back into his hands. We're saying it very superficially, but the process of chafina is described in Maseches Yuma and is in fact a rather difficult thing to accomplish. The question here is, why does the Tanaic source conclude by saying that the malika was the most difficult activity? Were there not these other activities? Hello, a multiple answers. Zu avoda kosher, me avodos koshos sheba mikdash. This was a difficult activity amongst the other difficult activities. So, all told, we can say that malika, chafina, and kemitza were 3 of the most difficult activities to do in the Beis Hamikdash. At this point, the Mishnah turns to the issue of the Olas Ha'of, a topic that we've mentioned Baal Peh orally a number of times, but here we have a source. It's a long Mishnah that continues till the upper part of Samachei Omed Aleph. Olas Ha'of, Ketzad Nasis, how was the Olas Ha'of to be performed? The Ola bird offering. Ola lakevesh upona lasovev. He rose on the ramp and turned to the sovev, called the upper ledge of the mizbeach before the very top of the mizbeach. Balo lakeren dromis mizrachis. He turned to the southeastern corner of the mizbeach. That, as we saw in our previous sugya, was the point of the mizbeach closest to the Beis Hadeshen. Hoya moilek es roisha mimul orpa umavdil. He severed the bird's neck from the back of the neck, and mavdil means he cut the 2 throat tubes, the trachea and esophagus. Umitza es doma al kir hamizbeach, and then he squeezed out the blood on the wall of the mizbeach. Here you see what the Olas Ha'of, there was no hazaw that was done. There was no tossing action, but rather a squeezing action. Notal es horoish. He took the head of the
bird offering, the Ola bird offering, v'hikiv beis melikosa l'mesbeach, he pressed the cut side of the neck to the wall of the mesbeach so as to squeeze out the blood from the head. Then v'safgoi b'melach, then covered the head in salt. Salt was part of the offering of karbonos. There were piles of salt on the mizbeach itself, so he covered it in salt. V'zorkoi al gabi ho'ishim, and tossed the head onto the fire. Balo leguf, then he dealt with the body of the ola, of the bird ola. V'hesir es hamura v'es hanoitza, he then removed the mura, which is the zefek, one of the internal digestive organs of the bird, the es hanoitza. One interpretation of notza would be the flap of skin opposite the zefek, and the flap of skin had feathers on it. The es b'nei hame'ayim hayoitzin imam, and the other internal organs that when you would pull out the zefek, other internal organs, other digestive organs would come with it. V'hishlichon lebeis hadeshen, he would toss it onto the beis hadeshen. Shisa v'lo hivdil, he would split the body open and not tear it apart. V'im hivdil, if he tore the body apart, he tore it into two, kosher, the offering is still okay. Sofko b'melach, he then covered it in salt. V'zorko agabi ho'ishim, and tossed the body onto the fire. The Mishnah goes on to mention activities that if they were not done, what would be the din? Lo hisir hamura, let's say he didn't remove the mura, which we said was the zefek. V'lo hanotza, v'lo es b'nei hame'ayim hayotznimam, v'loi sofgoi b'melach. Kol shishina bo me'achar shemitza es domo k'shera. Any change in what one should have done, but it's a change that was done after the mitzui hadam, after the squeezing out of the blood, the offering is remains kosher. Hivdil b'chatos v'lo hivdil b'oila. Let us say he did something. He did things that were not kedin. For example, he cut two simonim in the case of a chatos, which we said you're supposed to cut only one. Or he was not mavdil by the ola. He cut only one of the ola bird offering when he should have done two. Pusel. This is a shinui before the avodas hadam. Mitzah. Aleph, es dam horoish velo mitzah dam haguf psula. Let's say he did the squeezing out of the head blood of an ola and not the body blood. That would render the korban unfit. However, dam haguf velo mitzah dam horosh kshera. If he did the mitzui of the body blood and didn't do the head, that is okay. The Mishnah goes on. We've used a double underline here. It's noted on the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading. Hevdelim bein chatas ha'of la'ola sa'of. Differences between the chatas ha'of and ola sa'of. Chatas ha'of shemolka shelo lishma. A chatas ha'of whose malika was done with incorrect intentions. In other words, he was thinking that he was doing another kind of korban or for the wrong person. That's shelo lishma. Mitzah dama shelo lishma, he did the misui with a low lishma intention. Lishma v'shelo lishma, oh shelo lishma v'lishma, posel. So when dealing with a chatos, as we actually know from learning about chatos behema offerings, lo lishma renders it unfit. That's when you're dealing with a chatos. Oila sof, that's done shelo lishma, kshera. Ubilvad, shelo, also lebailim l'shem chova. Even though the basic korban is considered kosher,
Nevertheless, the owner hasn't fulfilled his requirement. That if he had a requirement of bringing an olas haof and it was done shelo lishmo, so he hasn't fulfilled his requirement.
Echad chatas oif, echad oilas haof, shemolkan v'shemitza es domon. Lechol dovor shedarko lechol ulahaktir dovor shedarko lahaktir. Chutz lizmano,
posel chutz l'mekomo. We should correct ourselves. Once again, the Aleph, the first example, is chutz l'mekomo. Posel v'ein bo kores. If he did any of these procedures with a wrong place mindset, that renders the korban unfit. But if it were to be eaten, it would not incur a kores penalty. However, if one of these procedures, the malika or the mitsui, were to be done with a chutz lizmano intention, that would create pigul. Pigul v'chayovim olav kores. That wouldn't just render the korban unfit, but it would label it pigul. It would create a pigul status, and anyone who would eat from them would be chayav kores. Uvulvad shiakriv hamatir kemitzvaso. This is premised on the offering of it in a proper fashion, other than the chutz lizmano problem. The Mishnah here, as we've learned in the case of pigul sugyas with behemoths, will go over the details of what we just said. Ketzad korev hamatir kemitzvaso. What is meant by this instruction or this description of korev hamatir kemitzvaso? So we have a few examples. You'll notice two lines from here. There's a Roman numeral number 2 where the Mishnah will describe ketzad lo korev hamatir kemitzvaso. So the Mishnah goes on. Under the heading of ketzad korev hamatir kemitzvaso, you have the following. Molak b'shtika, he did the malika, literally means in silence, but with the correct intentions. Umitzo hadam chutz lizmano. And then did the squeezing of the blood with a wrong time intention. That would be an example of something that would result in it becoming pigul. Oy, another example, shemolak chutz lizmano. He did the malika with a wrong time intention. We're being a bit brief because we're assuming that we've already acquired the necessary knowledge regarding chutz lizmano from all of the extensive sugyas earlier in this mesechta. So he may have done the malika with a chutz lizmano intention when it was while doing the cutting of the neck tubes. He intended to eat the chatas of the next day, which would be at the wrong time with a time lapse. So he may have done the malika with the chutz lizmano, mitzu hadam b'shtika. But he did the mitzui without any wrong intention. That would also result in pigul. Oy shemolak umitza hadam chutz lizmano. Or he did both stages with the chutz lizmano wrong intention. But no other wrongful intentions were mixed in. Zehu shekarev hamatir kemitzvaso. These are descriptions of karev hamatir kemitzvaso, which result in pigul. Ketzad lo karev hamatir kemitzvaso. What are examples of scenarios where we would say it's lo karev hamatir kemitzvaso? So, first example, molak chutz limkomo, umitza hadam chutz lizmano. There are two wrongful intentions. In other words, in addition to the chutz lizmano, you see a chutz limkomo wrongful intention. That prevents it from becoming pigul. Oy shemolak chutz lizmano, umitza hadam chutz limkomo. Once again, a chutz limkomo intention is mixed in here. Oy shemolak umitza hadam chutz limkomo. Or he did all of the stages with a chutz limkomo wrongful intention. Another example of lo korav hamatir kemitzvaso, chatos oif shemolkoi shelo lishmo umitzo hadam chutz lizmanoi.
with the case of chatas ha'of, another type of wrongful intention that renders the korban unfit is the shelo lishma. So if he mixed a lo lishma mindset with a chutz lizmano mindset, that would neutralize it from becoming pigul. Oy shemolak chutz lizmano umitza domo shelo lishma. Oy shemolak umitza hadam shelo lishma. Zehu shelo korav hamatir kemitzvaso. Other intentions that may have taken place continue in the Mishnah. Lechol kezayas bachutz kezayas lemochar. Let's say he did a malika or a mitzui hadam with the intention of eating a kezayas in the wrong place, and a kezayas is a quantity of meat, an olive quantity of meat, in the wrong place and at the wrong time. Kezayas lemochar, kezayas bachutz. Or he thought to eat a kezayas at the wrong time and another kezayas in the wrong place. Kechatzi zayas bachutz, kechatzi zayas lemochar. A half a zayas amount outside or and a half a zayas at the wrong time. Kechatzi zayas lemochar, kechatzi zayas bachutz. Posul v'ein bo kores. These result in it becoming posul, but no kores. Amar Yehuda. Rav Yehuda has a different take on this and says, Ze haklal, im machsheves hazman, kodmo lemachsheves hamokom, pigol v'chayovim olav kores. If the wrongful time preceded the thought concerning wrongful place, it does become pigol. The im machsheves hamokoim kodmo lemachsheves hazman posel the ein bo kores. Rabbi Yehuda will concede, though, that if the wrongful place machshava precedes the wrongful time machshava, it becomes posel but no kores. V'chachomim omrim zeh v'zeh posel v'ein bo kores. The chachomim hold that even if the wrongful time preceded wrongful place, since wrongful place was part of the thoughts during the offering of the bird, it does not become pigul, and therefore it's posel without a kores penalty attached to it. Le'echol kechatzi zayas u'lahaktir kechatzi zayas. Let's say his wrongful intentions were to eat a half a zayas at the wrong time and to offer on the mizbeach a half a zayas at the wrong time, kosher. The korban is said to be kosher. She'en achila v'aktor mitzdarfin. The half zayas of eating and the half zayas of burning do not join up to form a full zayas quantity, which is the necessary quantity to create psul. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.